I want to begin by reading a few verses, or a verse out of John. But I think of how important it is that we ourselves, each one, strive to work and walk in the light of God and of Christ. And to do this, if we're going to walk in His light, we're going to have to keep His commandments. We're going to have to seek Him often in prayer and fasting. We're going to have to forego some of the things of the world, which really shouldn't bother us too much, because we shouldn't be partaking in many of them anyway. But I want to read one verse here out of the 8th chapter of John, in the 12th verse. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And He told the people that He was the light. And we know that if we have a light, basically that's for one thing, and that's to see what we're doing and to tell where to go and what to do. If we have a flashlight in the night, it's to help us, to guide us to where we're going. And if we have the lights on our car, that's what it's for. And the lights in our building here, so that we can see what we're doing. And if He is our light, then He's showing us the way we should go and what we should do. I want to go back just a little bit into the 3rd chapter of John here. Pardon me, the 1st chapter of John. And I'm going to, I believe that I'll go ahead and start with the first verse here, really from about the 3rd or 4th on is what I want. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And we know that as John the Baptist went about preaching, he taught of God, or of Christ, and he worked diligently to let the people know of things that were to be. And John had that light. He knew what the light of the world was. It goes ahead here in the 8th verse. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which leadeth every man that cometh unto the world, cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Those that followed after him and sought his way and walked in his light, they would become the sons of God. Which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the world was made flesh, and the world was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now Christ came into the world that through him that all people might be saved. And he was the only begotten of the Father. But all of us can be sons or daughters, as the case might be, of God by following after Christ and keeping his commandments and seeking him diligently. I want to go over into the Helaman here for a few verses. In the second chapter of Helaman, on page 557, I'm going to start with the 74th verse here. And there's some things here that is rather, I would say, unusual. But not too uncommon either. And now, my sons, remember that is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because the rock on which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation wherein, if man build, they cannot fall. Now he's telling his sons here, these young men, what they should do, realizing that Christ is to be their foundation, and to build upon it. And if you have properly built upon this, when all of these things come upon you, you're not going to fall, because you're going to be strong enough to withstand the evils of the devil. Now it came to pass that these were the words which Helaman taught to his sons, yea, and he did teach them many things which are not written, and also many things which are written. And they did remember his words. And therefore they went forth, keeping the commandments of God, to teach the word of God among all the people of Nephi. Now this is rather strange, isn't it? The Lamanites, which these young men were, they were going out to preach to the Nephites. And generally speaking, the Lamanites had been the unrighteous people. But here they were going about to preach to the Nephites, beginning at the city Bountiful, and from thenceforth to the city of Gid, and from there, from the city of Gid to the city of Muluk, and even from one city to another, until they had gone forth among all the people of Nephi who were in the land southward, and from thence into the land of Zarahemla among the Lamanites. And it came to pass that they did preach with great power. Now this is what you should have, isn't it? With great power. Because if you have built upon that proper foundation, and if you have got God and Christ with you, you should have that power. But they went out and preached with great power, insomuch that they did confound many of those dissenters who had gone over from the Nephites, insomuch that they came forth and did confess their sins and were baptized unto repentance, and immediately returned to the Nephites, in an endeavor to repair unto them the wrongs which they had done. Now those people were converted and were baptized, and you see, they went then to make right the wrongs which they had done. They were a sorrowful people. And now let's see what happens here. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did preach unto the Lamanites. Now this is pretty common, but here the Nephites are going among the Lamanites to preach. And maybe what it says, a prophet is without honor except in his own house. Maybe it is better that they go to some other place and do their preaching. I don't know. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did preach unto the Lamanites with such great power and authority, for they had the power and authority given unto them that they might speak, and they also had what they should speak given unto them. Now that would be a pretty powerful time, wouldn't it? When they needed words to say, it was given to them what to say. Therefore, they did speak unto the great astonishment of the Lamanites, to the convincing of them, insomuch that there were 8,000 of the Lamanites who were in the land of Zarahemla and round about, baptized unto repentance, and were convinced of the wickedness of the traditions of their fathers. Now that would be quite a thing, wouldn't it? They went into this land and they apparently baptized 8,000 people that had came and repented of their sins, and this would be quite an occasion. Now I am sure that these young men, as they went out to preach, if they had not had the power of the Lord with them, they couldn't begin to do this. If they hadn't sought His ways and His life as they went about their task, there is no doubt that they couldn't have accomplished this. But by having the power of the Lord with them and willing to go out and work among the people, this is what they were able to accomplish. And I believe also that this could be done, or will be done again in another day, maybe not too far distant future, that the people are going to be hungering after the righteousness, and those people that are seeking after that which is right, they are going to be able to be converted unto the Lord. I want to go over here in the ether for a few verses on page 718. And this was a time that the brother of Jared and a group that was with him had encamped at the seashore prior to coming to this land. And beginning with the 37th verse here, "And as they came to the sea, they pitched their tents, and they called the name of the place Mercurium, I believe it is. And they dwelt in tents, and dwelt in tents upon the seashore for the space of 4 years." Now this isn't too unusual, but there's going to be some things here that come up that we will see where even a pretty righteous person can kind of drop away into a state of complacency. "And it came to pass at the end of 4 years that the Lord came again unto the brother of Jared and stood in a cloud and talked with him." Now again, this isn't too unusual, but here's what was happening at that time. "And for a space of 3 hours did the Lord talk with the brother of Jared and chastened him because he had remembered not to call upon the name of the Lord." Now this had been a very righteous man, and here he had failed for a space of 4 years to pray to the Lord. He wasn't paying much attention to the light that he had. But can you imagine being chastened for 3 hours by the Lord? I expect that several of us here have been scolded in school or at home, and I doubt if any of those scoldings took over maybe 3 or 4 minutes. I doubt it. Very few of them would. But can you imagine the Lord chastening somebody for 3 hours? And the brother of Jared repented of the evil which he had done, and did call upon the name of the Lord for his brethren who were with him. And the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sins, but thou shalt not sin any more, for ye shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with men. Wherefore, if ye will sin until you are fully ripe, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. Now that would be pretty plain talk, wouldn't it? Can you imagine the Lord telling you this? Now, if you don't follow my ways, and if you don't keep my commandments, you're going to be cut off from my presence. And I know of a surety that people that are following after Christ, there could be nothing as bad as this. And I believe, too, that if it happened then, that the same thing could happen today. If we're not going to follow after his words and keep his commandments and hold him up as our light, we could be cut off just like this, like it mentioned here. That's why it is important that we continually pray and seek the Lord for guidance and to be forgiven of our sins, that we might continually repent. Now, I'm sure we believe that these things have happened and can happen. And there's a lot of things in here that we know to be the truth. But we have got to seek them out and strive to keep those commandments. So we do know that they're true. But you know, the devil believes this too. He knows the truth too. He knows these things are true. I want to go down here a little farther and heal them. I'm going to go over into the fifth chapter. Into heal them. I believe I'll begin with the 84th verse on page 594. I believe 85. See. 85, I believe. And now remember, my brethren, whosoever perisheth unto himself. And whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it unto himself. For behold, ye are free. Ye are permitted to act for yourselves. We've got a right to do what we want to do. For behold, God hath given unto you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. He doesn't make us do any of these things. He doesn't make us follow after him, but he will give us strength when we need it. But he's not going to make us do it. He hath given unto you that ye might know good from evil. And I believe this is true. Everyone has a knowledge of good and evil. And he hath given unto you that ye might choose life or death. And ye can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you, or you can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you. Now, people that have kept commandments and strive to do the Lord's will, this last part of this is a frightful thing. That we do not want to do evil, and we don't have want to have these things restored unto us that are evil. Because we want to follow after that which is good and have that which is good given unto us. And now, my beloved brethren, behold, I declare unto you that except ye shall repent, your houses shall be left unto you desolate. And except ye repent, your women shall have great cause to mourn in the day that they shall give suck. And ye shall attempt to flee, and there shall be no place of refuge for refuge. Yea, woe unto them that are with child, for they shall be heavy and cannot flee. Therefore they shall be trodden down and shall be left to perish. This would be a terrible state, wouldn't it? Now, I'm sure that if we have kept the commandments, that the Lord is going to see that this does not happen to us. But if we haven't done His will and strive to lead others unto Him, when these great trials come, if we haven't done these things first, we can't expect Him to help us. But if we have kept the commandments, then we have every right to turn to the Lord in prayer and have Him hear our prayers and direct us in what we should do. Yea, woe unto this people who are called the people of Nephi, except ye shall repent when they shall see all these signs and wonders which shall be shown unto them. For behold, they have been a chosen people of the Lord. Yea, the people of Nephi He hath loved, and also hath He chastened them. Yea, in the days of their iniquity hath He chastened them, because He loveth them. If the Lord hears our prayers, and we have kept the commandments, and which He does hear our prayers, then we can expect Him to give us the direction we need. But also, it says He's going to chasten those that He loves. So if we're doing something wrong, He is going to chasten us, and He's going to try to direct us in the ways we should go. We know that oftentimes that a child has to be spanked, and it seems a little hard thing to do sometimes, but if a child is, as much as we love them, if they start to walk into the street, we have got to teach them not to. Sometimes it gets a little hard, and it takes a long time and a lot of diligence, but sometimes we've got to spank them to really get their attention and let them know that they can't do a certain thing. So they have to be chastened a bit. The same as the Lord is going to chasten His people. If we're not doing what He wants, He's going to chasten us. But I believe, too, that if we are chastened and we seek the Lord, that we're going to know His will and we're going to know what to do. I want to read a few verses out of Deuteronomy. In the 6th chapter, and this is one of those chapters that there really isn't a place to begin or end, but I am going to start with the 4th verse, read a few verses, and then a little further over there. Hear, O house of Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, if we'd done that, we would be holding the Lord up, the light of his glory and so on before us, wouldn't we? We'd be walking in his light. And I think that this seventh verse there is a very, very important verse. I'm going to just go over part of it again. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The things of the Lord, teach them unto your children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. It would indicate to me then that we should do a little bit of talking and instructing in our own homes, around the supper table, or in the evening we should have a little scripture read and discuss a little bit. And then when thou walkest by the way. Now I would say then that as we go about our tasks sometimes, that would be a good thing to discuss. And I know of occasions when we have maybe been working together, several of the people, maybe building a building or whatever. We've got some tasks to perform. And I know that oftentimes as we work, we bring up things in the scripture and we discuss them. It helps each one of us that are there. And it surely does make the time pass a lot faster. But if we do this in our homes and where we work, especially when we're with people of like faith or that are believers in Christ, it's a good idea to talk of these things. Now, I'll grant you, many places you couldn't do much talking because no one's going to pay any attention to you. They're not interested. But surely, when we are with each other, and people that do believe in Christ, I think that should be one of the important topics of the scripture and the beliefs that we have and what we should do. I want to skip over here now a little ways. Let's see. I guess maybe over to the 16th verse. Of course, we realize that he's talking to the Israelites here, and all the trials that they had had, along with all the blessings that he had given them, it seemed like that they had to be brought up short about every other day, or maybe sometimes twice a day, because they were a people that could turn in an opposite direction in just a very short time. It says here, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him at Meshech." Now, we know of the times, time after time, when they were going in one direction and they turned around and tempted the Lord. I would have thought that his patience would have wore thin a lot quicker than they did. But he was with them, and as often as they would return to him, he would return to them. "Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee." Now all of us know this is what you're to do. But those people had been spoken to time after time after time, and still he had to tell them again. But I don't know if that's too much different than people today, because we have to keep telling them over and over. "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." "To cast out thy enemies before thee, from before thee, as the Lord has spoken." Now those people could have changed their lot a whole lot by doing what they were commanded. But so many times they didn't, and we know that they got to wander 40 years in the wilderness. which was a terrible thing. In fact, almost, well, I believe all the people, but maybe three, that was over the age of 20, perished before they reached the promised land. So it was just a new generation that got to go in, where they could have all went in. And all they had to do was, I'm sure, if this one part of the 18th verse, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. That's all they had to do. But they did not do it. And we look back and we can't understand why they didn't do these things that they should have done. And go right on in and possess the things. But we look at today, we've got the same words, and people aren't heeding them today. We could read these words to people hour after hour and tell them and explain to them, and it wouldn't have too much effect on a lot of people. Some people it would. I always think of the way they teach English in school. And I remember when Dwayne was going to school, and I believe Patsy was a freshman in college. And he was lamenting the fact that he had to memorize some things and learn a few things, that he was speaking of them, and Patsy said, well, that's what I'm learning too. Basically, in English, they were teaching them the fundamentals. Dwayne was probably in the 6th or 7th grade, and Patsy was in the 1st year of college. Yet they were learning about the same things a whole lot. Maybe Patsy's was, hers was probably a good deal advanced, but in college, they wanted to be sure, too, that when they came out of high school that they did have a little English, and so they were teaching them some of the same things that they had taught in high school and in junior high. But I'm sure Dwayne was in junior high at the time. And that's the same thing that we're doing in the Scripture. If we read these words here, this one over here, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. We can turn it over in the New Testament. It's there again. It's just as good in the New Testament as it is in the Old Testament, or vice versa, and just as important. It's a definite thing. We've got to really learn these things. And I think most of us know this. But how can we convey the message to the people we come in contact with? It's pretty difficult. Many people are absolutely not interested. Many of them don't believe any part of it. There is a lot of people that believe that there is a Lord and that they love the Lord their God. They really believe it, but they don't do anything about it. They know it's the truth. They know for a surety that it is true, but they do not have the initiative to go ahead and start acting upon it. And it's such a shame that we can't reach more of these people and show them what they should do and the benefits from it. Because there is definitely a benefit. When we hold the light of the Lord up, He is also going to hold us up. And when we fail to hold His light up, He's going to fail to hold ours up. But we have got work to do. I want to read just a little bit here out of James, 2nd chapter of James. Most people are pretty familiar with these words. Again, this is another chapter that you break into. Sometimes you need nearly the whole thing. But I'm going to read 17 through 20 in the 2nd chapter of James. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You can't take one part of it and just hold up a little bit of it and expect it to work. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If a man isn't living a good life, no matter how much he believes, he isn't accomplishing a whole lot, is he? He may believe all things, but if he doesn't have works, if he doesn't have charity, it isn't going to accomplish a whole lot. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. There's a lot of people believe these things. It says here, even the devil. A lot of people believe them. But you have got to act and do something. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The devil had that same faith. He knows, but he doesn't have any works. A lot of people have that faith. They're not doing anything. But when you've got that faith, you need to go forth and start working, keeping the commandments, and doing those things which are good. Do our very best to lead other people unto the Lord. And if we're going to hold that light up to the world, he's the light of the world, and then he's going to be our light. And if we hold his light up day after day, when things get dark or hard or difficult, then he is going to be there to help hold our light up. He's going to help us and direct us. But we have got to have that work, and we have got to have the faith that goes with it. And when we do that and keep those commandments, he's going to be there to help us when we need help.
Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, we have prayer service. Turn to number 180. Shall we stand? Thank you.